Hey, Bruiser Buddies, this is Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty.
Before we dive into the episode, make sure you hit subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening on. Also, follow me on X at The Dave Dynasty and subscribe on YouTube by looking up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty. You can also buy one of my shirts at ProWrestlingTees.com/TheDaveDynasty. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome to 1 hour of the toughest, roughest wrestling you'll ever see.
That's right, Dick the Bruiser, set it off.
The big question, have you got the endurance? Have you got the brain to get past the excellence of execution?
Does they think they got the answers? I change the questions.
This is Jim Cornette, and the views that I'm about to express are not necessarily those of anybody else but me, but they ought to be, and as a matter of fact, they probably are.
The reason why Ax and myself were put on this earth is to demolish people.
Bobby Heenan, that is a very good-looking sport coat you've got on.
Yeah, and I paid for mine. Mine is in government issue.
Yellow. Everybody, Lance Russell and Dave Brown right along ringside. By golly, we're ready to go with another big week of championship wrestling.
Greetings, wrestling fans, and welcome to Wrestling Nostalgia. I'm your host, Dave Dynasty. Thank you for joining me for yet another episode, and we have a fun one today for you, folks. This episode, my guest is Tom Filsinger, owner and founder of Filsinger Games. And guys, if you are my age or a collector of old wrestling magazines, you will remember from the mid-80s on, always opening up those magazines and seeing the advertisements for Filsinger Games. Now, Tom and Filsinger Games have produced wrestling games for 40 years now, including Champions of the Galaxy and Legends of Wrestling. So we talk about the pitch to WWF that led to him forming his own company, the history of the games, and much, much more. So let's take a quick break, and when I come back, we'll have my interview with Tom Filsinger.
If you like horror movies, be sure to check out Dave Dynasty and Ike Isaacs on the Listen to Their Screams Horror podcast. It is available on all podcast platforms and on social media at Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number two, and Screams.
All right, and welcome back to Wrestling Nostalgia. At this time, I'm being joined by the creator and owner of Filsinger Games, Tom Filsinger. Sir, how are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic, Dave, and it's great to be here.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And it's funny because you were such a part of my childhood inadvertently. not you directly, but your company, because of your games, because of the ads in the magazines. We're going to talk all about this. But let's give it a little background on you, Tom. Where did you grow up? And did you grow up a fan of wrestling?
Oh, definitely. My grandparents had wrestling on in the house every week, and they were Greek immigrants, and they, you know, believed it was real. And so I did too when I was a kid, because, you know, as a kid, you're not sure.
Yeah.
And so I was exposed to it. I was immediately fell in love with it. And so that was the beginning of my wrestling journey. It was the Detroit and Cleveland territories time period.
All right. So you're talking, you know, Sheik, Johnny Powers, Bobo Brazil, all those great.
You got it.
Yeah.
You got it. All those people.
Yeah. It's Midwest, right where I'm. I mean, I'm from Indiana, but yeah, it's still Midwest. So
it was, I loved it. It was pretty intense, especially the Detroit. And of course, I only learned as an adult that the Sheik was actually promoting it. I had no idea.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. Of course, the Sheik, one of the most protective guys ever in the business for, you know, protecting his image and his character and
right
and everything else. Now, anybody who's my age knows Filsinger Games. We saw those were prominent in the magazines when we were kids, the Champions of the Galaxy and everything else. But am I correct in reading that in 1984 or around that time, you pitched a game idea to the World Wrestling Federation that they passed on, but that's what evolved into. So tell us about that, pitching that game. What was that like?
Yeah, that was interesting. I had a game system that I liked. I invented for myself for pleasure. And but I saw that when I played it with other people, it played well. So I thought, well, let me see if I can sell it to WWF, which at the time was going national.
Sure.
You know,
yep.
And it was very interesting because they were still in the transition stage. So when I got the phone number of WWF, I called. And in those days, you didn't necessarily get a secretary. The yeah. person who answered the phone, it was obvious to me it was Gorilla Monsoon because I knew his voice. And yeah. I thought, oh, my God, I'm talking to Gorilla Monsoon already. And I said, well, you know, I was young and I was kind of inexperienced in these areas. So I just said, is Vince McMahon in? And he said he's busy right now. And, well, little by little, once I returned phone calls, I got to their business guy.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, yeah, your game, you know, that could be interesting. Send us a sample.
Uh-huh.
And so I made some sample game cards for people like Tito Santana, Magnificent Morocco, a couple others. And sent it to them and the rules and how it's played. And he said, you know, well, we're thinking about it. Drop off the stuff when they're at the arena, when in the Cleveland area where I was born and lived in Cleveland at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an interesting journey, too, because here I was going to the Coliseum where they had wrestling events, and they would draw over 10,000 people because it was the Hulkamania era.
Sure.
And I was invited to go back to the locker room and give my game stuff to Chief J Strongbow.
Uh-huh.
And had to walk past Big John Studd, who stayed in character and looked at me glaringly and scared me because he's a big guy.
Sure.
And but anyway, they looked at it. They talked to me for like 6 months, 8 months. And then they said, finally, sorry, we're going to do a game with Milton Bradley.
Yeah.
Which I'm going to say this outright, which was just a lousy wrestling game.
Yeah.
It was made for children. And so it didn't play like a wrestling match, even in the slightest. And so I was disappointed and thought, man, I got a wrestling game here I think is good. I don't know what to do with it now. And the idea came to me because I loved comic books also.
Sure.
I don't know why, but the idea came to me, why not create a wrestling federation of the future? And that became Champions of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
And that was the game that we advertised in Pro Wrestling Illustrated in 1986. And it was radical.
It was.
Nobody had ever combined sci-fi and wrestling before.
Right.
And I was afraid that it would be so weird to some people that nobody would buy it. But just the opposite happened.
Right.
People did get into it.
Yeah.
And here we are 40 years later, my good friend.
I know. And let me ask you, because I'm a huge baseball fan too. So when I was a kid, and I know it still exists, but I played some Strat-O-Matic baseball when I was a kid, which is, I always viewed that your games were kind of the Strat-O-Matic version for wrestling. Do you, what's your history with gaming and playing games? Did you have some of that experience? What spawned you to come up with this concept for WWF? Did you have a love of, board games, or what was it?
I did have a love of tabletop board games, and I did play Strat-O-Matic baseball. And, you know, whether that was a direct influence or not, I don't know. All I know is I was bored in school, in high school. I did anything I could creatively to get through the school day. And one of them was to create this game system. I also applied it to boxing, because it's basically an attack defense system.
Yeah.
And you could really do any fighting game with it. But I liked wrestling. Boxing's a little more boring to do with it, because there's only so many times you can write right jab, left jab. You know, and wrestling had a plethora of moves you could work with and characters. So, like I said, I did it to entertain myself, and it wound up being much more than that. And my revenge against the school system that bored me so much was that I became a college professor as a career.
Yeah. Well, and there's a, I mean, I guess there's something to say for right place, right time. You're creating this game right when wrestling's going national, wrestling's booming. You create this game, you create this wild world at a time period in the 80s where comic books were booming. So you're cross-pollinating these two hot properties, right? These hot venue or whatever you want to say, genres. Your marketing was great. Again, anybody my age, if you open a national, any prominent national wrestling magazine, you saw Champions of the Galaxy. It was there, and it intrigued you, right? And it caught your attention.
You are correct, Dave. The funny thing about it is, even though comics and wrestling were both taking off, they were on parallel roads. They weren't intersecting a lot. So a lot of people were not quite ready yet, especially the comic book fans, to embrace wrestling. That came later. But you're right, the ads were in PWI all the time.
Yeah.
For Wrestling Illustrated. But we were in other magazines too. And what I found was I loved making the ads because I would feature a different character every 3 months or so.
Right.
Because I found that, let's say I put out an ad with Star Warriors, the main guy, or Bishop Hell, and the sales would be high, spike in the first month when people first saw it, and then go down every month. So by the third month, it was just maybe breaking even. So I would always put a new character because, you know, different characters appeal to different people. You know, at some point somebody says, oh my God, Death Knight, he looks really cool. I got to get this game.
Yeah.
And then somebody else spike next time. So there was a constant, I've got all my PWIs in every magazine that my ads have ever been in. I keep everything.
Sure.
And I don't have easy access to them because I store them away, but we were all over the place in those publications throughout the 90s until the magazines started to fade and the internet became more important than magazine ads.
Yeah, right. Well, like when on your release, when you're coming up with this game, you're coming out with the magazine marketing blitz, did you consider coming out of the gate, did you consider your game a success? Where did sales hit that point where you thought, oh yeah, this is good, we've got something here?
Yeah, that was almost right away. But don't forget, I also had a regular career,
right,
as a psych professor. So I didn't have to rely on the game. Thank God. I didn't want that pressure on the game. I wanted to be able to write what I enjoyed, to enjoy my fan community without always looking at the bottom line. And I've been very fortunate. For 40 years, I am still writing stories.
Yeah.
Just based on my own muse. And that, well, it's lasted 40 years. It must work. And as you know, what helped Phil Singer Games to stay strong was expanding the licensed games.
Sure.
With the real people, which was what I wanted to do in the first place.
Yeah.
But now I had control. I wasn't selling it to WWF or NWA. Now it's still Phil Singer Games, and that wound up being better in the long run.
Yeah. I was always a fan of your company, and I played Champions of the Galaxy. But, and again, before we get to the license stuff, one of the benchmarks of your company is that since inception, you've released yearly updates of the game. Right, which is
the Champions of the Galaxy,
Champions of the Galaxy, correct. Which is a great way to keep players engaged, give them new characters,
situations. I've never missed a year.
Right. So that's obviously key, right? Because you're talking gaming, and at some point, right, someone can only play a game so much before it starts to feel a little stagnant. So with you releasing updates yearly, you're giving them new characters, new match types, new situations, keeping it fresh. That was very key, I think, to your prolonged success. Would you agree?
I do. And building community was a very important part of that because in the days before the internet, game fans would write me letters with
Oh,
their
yeah.
rankings and their feuds, and what's going on in their Fed. And I self-published a newsletter
Yeah.
to create a fan network. And then the fans took over from there. And, we wound up having Galacticon, our annual game convention. First one was in 1990. The fan network became very, very strong, and to this day still is.
Sure.
It's been a real blessing. I've really enjoyed it. And now, as you know, we release new game stuff quarterly,
Yeah.
every 3 months, for Champions, for our Legends of Wrestling card game series with the real legends of the for the last 100 years. We've gone all the way back to Frank Gotch
Yeah.
100 years ago, but also indie. We work with indie promotions, and I love to promote the indie wrestlers because a lot of them are working very hard to try to become known, and they've got other jobs because they aren't making much money at it yet. They're
Yep.
weekend warriors, and they're proud when they get a Filsinger Games card.
Yeah.
It's almost like it shows they're starting to make it. And I love to encourage them and reward them for the just for their love of wrestling.
Yeah. Well, and again, like I said, I played Champions of the Galaxy, but you as a company really hooked me in 2001 when you guys ventured into the licensed stuff, the Legends of Wrestling. That's when you really got me because that's what I wanted. I wanted, the licensed stuff. I wanted the real wrestlers. And over the years from that, I mean, it spawned into this unbelievable thing. Like you've partnered with Ring of Honor, Chikara, Shimmer, CZW, individual talents. Why around that 2001? What happened? I mean, I'm assuming this was maybe a goal of, for a long time, but why was that the right time? And what clicked there for you to partner with promotions and talent to venture into the licensed cards and games?
It never had occurred to me because I was releasing Champions for the first 10, 12, 15 years. It never even occurred to me that I could approach the wrestlers individually and start to build enough of a roster to release a Legends game. But it started when I attended an indie wrestling show in, I believe it was Canada, met Greg Valentine, asked him if he would be a If I could use him for the game, and he said, yeah. I thought, wow, man, that was easy. And then it was with King Kong Bundy. And once I had those two, I thought, I just got to call everybody and see what happens. And then I developed a network, which now has grown to this day where we are part of the wrestling community itself because we are partners with people like Cauliflower Alley Club,
Yeah.
Trego Stez Hall of Fame, where we actually work together with them to raise money for their funds, for their, like Cauliflower Alley Club has a benevolent fund
Yeah.
for wrestlers who are sick and in hard times to help them. We contribute to that. And we do it also with the Trego Stez Hall of Fame. So we've got partnerships now. But back then, I just had to get phone numbers from people and call them cold, and that was really hilarious too,
Yeah, tell
Don't
me.
be savage and
Yeah,
talk to people.
tell me
At
about that.
first, it was
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt, but tell me about that. When you reach out to certain guys,
It's got to be a kind of a what the fuck are you talking about moment, right? Where they're like, what are you making? What is this? And so
Yeah.
tell me what it's like to talk to some of these old timers when you're trying to explain what you're doing. How do you do that? How do you sell that?
Yeah, that was never easy, especially at first. And because a lot of the wrestlers weren't, game players, so
Sure.
they didn't understand what I was talking about. So I had to introduce myself in a way that would bring trust, because they, in their profession, were used to hooligans, people who
Yeah.
would, be just trying to take advantage of them and make money off them. The fact that I was going to them for permission already was a barrier I passed, because a lot of times people just wouldn't do that with them. They
Yeah.
would just publish something anyway, and then they'd have to, either go to court or ignore it or whatever they would do. So, and then because I was a professor that brought a kind of an automatic respect for me as a human being and probably an ethical person too. So I always made sure to mention that, and a family man. So once the wrestlers became comfortable that I wasn't a shyster, and their feeling was, and this game isn't selling in the millions, it's not Milton Bradley or Wizards of the Coast, then their feeling was, sure, go ahead, because I want to be in your game. I want people to use my playing card, and I want to be remembered. A
Yeah.
lot of the old timers felt like that way when I would call Gorgeous George's daughter or Buddy Rogers' wife. A lot of them were like, please, I want that name to stay out there. And it just kept growing, because once you can say to a wrestler, look, we've already got Greg Valentine and King Kong Bundy and Randy Savage and Ted DiBiase, they're like, oh, okay, well then fine, I'll do it too. So it was momentum, all about momentum.
And it's almost like you sort of mentioned, like at this point, it's almost like a badge of honor, right? If you get that call and get that card, because the cards have, to me, there's kind of this two ways about the cards, right? There's the gaming side of it, but there's also this collectability side of it, right? Because you have this great artwork of the wrestler on it, and so it's almost like trading card kind of a mentality on the one side. So it's
I agree with you, Dave. Yes, go
yeah
on.
yeah well it's almost so there's the gaming side, the collectability side, and now I would venture to guess a lot more wrestlers know of you. So it's almost like this badge of honor, right? Like getting the call of, do you want to be part of the Legends of Wrestling? And it's almost like it's a feather in the cap. And again, I've got so many of your cards, and it's even despite the playing side of it, it's just great to collect them for the gra for the artwork and everything else. It's almost like the collectability side of it as well.
Yeah, I'm with you all the way on that, Dave. As a collector myself of comic books and other, pop culture things, and I'm maybe I'm del, but in 50 years, and I plan to still be around. I'm trying to take my good care of myself. But if I'm not, and I probably, I'd have to be about 120. But you do the best you can. So, if let's say in 50 or 100 years, there are still people, and I don't know what the status of pro wrestling is going to be in 50 years, nobody does. But let's say there are people in the future that look back and say, wow, that pro wrestling phenomenon sure was interesting. Then I believe the game cards that I had put out could rise enormously in their value, because they're smaller than average print runs. We're not printing in the millions. And so therefore, that's why Action Comics number one with Superman from 1937, I think it was, is worth so much. There's less than 100 of them. People threw them away, and so there is a limited supply. So if there's people of the future look back and say, man, love this whole wrestling thing. And this game had practically everybody in it. I want to get this whole game. That's not going to be an easy thing to do. Sure. So I'm hoping, and I'm very proud to have created what I believe is wrestling's greatest tabletop card game ever. I hate to talk like that in bragging terms, but so far it looks like that's true.
Of course.
I'm very proud to keep the history of wrestling alive through my games.
Yeah, again, I don't think there's any question about that, because when you think of wrestling games, you know, tabletop games, right? To me, you're what comes to mind. I don't even know what number two would be. I don't even know what the competitors are. I know there's other products out there, but I don't know what they are, because to me, you have defined the marketplace. You were there, right? You created the marketplace in my mind, and I have a lot of your cards, you know, and I do play, but I don't play as much as I used to, obviously. But there's still certain guys, when you come up with cards, like, I have to have that because I want that card. I want that artwork. I want that just because as a piece, right? Not even from the gaming side. So, I think you hit on so many different veins of the professional wrestling world, right? Not only the gaming, but the collectability, the nostalgia. I think there's so many avenues you hit on. That it's pretty remarkable. But we're swerve a little bit, because in 2005, you wrote a book titled The Dark Menace of the Universe. So tell us about writing that book, the idea for the book, and why that was the right time for you to publish something, you know, about you and gaming.
Yeah. Well, you know, the fan base was very, very rabid and strong at that time. And I just felt, you know, I'm a writer, I'm a creator, you know, I don't want to just write game stories, which I enjoy writing, but yeah. I also want to write other things too. And so I wrote that book. It also had my psychology interests in there, because there were chapters on the psychology of the creative person, psychology of creativity.
Yeah.
And the book was, you know, it sold out in three printings I've done, and it's now out of print. I'm happy to say it sold well, even to non-wrestling and game fans, because of the psych of creativity part of it.
Yeah.
But mainly the book was about how the games were created. And, you know, it would give somebody who wants to be an entrepreneur, a creator, a kind of a blueprint for this is how Tom Filsinger did it. Maybe I can do it with my idea, whatever it might be.
Sure.
So now, as a part two of that story, that book, like I said, is out of print now. And sometimes people ask me if they can order it. And I say, you know, well, we're out of print. But so what I wanted to do was update it, you know, the last 20 years, add to it, and re-release it as one longer book.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've written the second part. I just haven't gotten around to the printing part. And I'm just looking into options for how to publish, to bring back the original Dark Menace, and then the book might be called The Return of the Dark Menace or something like that.
Yeah.
But it would cover also the last 20 years. So thank you for asking about that book. Part two is written. It's just a matter of figuring out how and when to put out such a book.
Well, it's pretty remarkable, because you released this book in 2005. Again, 20 years ago, right? It's weird. It doesn't seem like that long ago, but so much has happened since then. I mean, obviously, right? Legends of Wrestling, Champions of the Galaxy.
Yeah, the indie thing took off after that.
Yeah. And, but in 2007, you guys...
And also, we released online simulation of the game also after.
Right, that's what I was going to say. In 2007, you guys continue to evolve, and you branch into the online simulation version of the game. And I'm sure that was right. That was a need-driven expansion, right? That was at that time, right? You needed to branch to venture into that, but that had to be a huge undertaking for you guys.
We had the right staff at that time who could do it, and we still are working on improvements to the online simulation system. But we also moved, we were black and white cards for a long time, and then we moved to color around that same time period. I mean, you're right. It's just constantly evolving. We've got accessories like game handbooks with special matches, and we've got every special match a person could possibly imagine, from cage matches to chain matches to I quit. For people who really take wrestling seriously and playing the game seriously, those are called ringside companions, by the way. We've released two editions of that. Those are necessities. I use them all the time when I play my own Fed, which I've been playing now for 40 years, just like I started playing, and I've got my list of champions in the Champions of the Galaxy universe. That so I've got this huge history of belt records, and I also play Legends by phone with a couple of friends of mine, and we have a card every week, and championship matches, and this friend of mine's got Andre the Giant and a stable of wrestlers, and I've got some, and my other friend's got some, and so we play interactive that way.
Yeah, it's funny how I don't know if it's knowingly or not, but you seem to have your finger on the pulse of what wrestling fans want, right? Because wrestling fans have always had that attention to detail, right? That wanting title histories, wanting match records, wanting documentation, so to speak. And your game allowed that, right? With you could form your own Fed, your own promotion, and do that. And it's almost like you were always kind of one step ahead, or knowing, right, what a wrestling fan would want. And I guess that spawns from you being a wrestling fan yourself
That's
and
all
knowing.
it is. I put out a game that I would want to play. And being a kind of a gamer myself, I and a collector, I already had that mentality. That's correct. And so it was easy to do that. That's the best way to me, the best things start is from an individual's vision, not a corporate vision, but an individual vision. And that's what my company is.
And in recent years, tabletop and RPG gaming as a whole has kind of experienced a bit of a resurgence, right? There's a lot, where people have refound some of these types of games, and there's a lot of new with the Warhammers, the Dungeons and Dragons becoming more prominent. Have you got any of that trickle down? Have you experienced any new interest in the recent years for at Filsinger Games?
Yeah, but what I want to do is do more advertising to that market. That to me is a gap that I want to fill. I do think that need is there. I think that younger people, and that's really anybody from the 40s on down, is people who've been raised with screens. There's only so much time you can look at a screen, and you want to get the heck away from it and collect physically something, game cards that has value, and I want to always be that alternative to screens, screens, screens everywhere.
I agree, and it's funny because, again, like you mentioned, right? I love technology, right? I love the ease of it. But when I come to, books or games, or I don't want the e-versions. I want a physical book in my hand. With a game, I want a physical card in my hand, or a board game in front of me. That's how I want to play. I those are my escapes from the screens. And you've mentioned a couple of times, right, that you're a professor of psychology and you've taught for years. Do you see a lot of intersections in those worlds, in your studies in psychology, your teaching in psychology, the develop and with the development of games and what people want and need in their life.
Yeah, well, I'll answer that in two ways. The gaming theory is actually a subtopic in areas like social psychology, where you take some of the principles of gaming and apply them outside of even gaming. This idea of leveling up and stuff like that. So, yes, and then especially with the topic of the psychology of creativity, which I will be giving a talk. I live in Sedona, Arizona. I'll be giving a talk at the Sedona Public Library in January, 27, on the topic of the psychology of creative people and creativity and the creative process. That's the area in which I enjoy the overlap the most is creativity.
Yeah, I
And you
got
might
you.
know that I've always encouraged it in my game community by saying, create your own characters. Do it. Have fun. And
Yeah,
our game fans do that all the time, and they share them with each other.
I yeah, and yeah, that was I didn't have that in my notes, but that is a point. I've had many acquaintances and friends that I have picked up game cards for certain right guys that may not be of the level that would necessarily make Legends of Wrestling right now, but like if you want to run a Memphis game or a Memphis card, some of the lesser talents, right? The undercard talents. I've totally had guys that have created cards for some of those wrestlers that I've picked up over the years. And it's fun to integrate those into what's the existing product. And to me, that's part of gaming, right? That's part of it. You create your characters and you can expand and evolve it into what fits your likes, your desires. And it's fascinating because to me, gaming in this sense, tabletop, that's an escape to me from technology. I know you do the online stuff. I don't want that. That's not what I want. I want to sit down with a physical card, some dice. That's my escape. That's my disengaging from technology, getting back to something, a little more, I don't know what you would call it, primal or whatever it is. Something from my childhood. There's a lot of nostalgia there. And there's something to me that is so satisfying to know that this game company and this product that was there in 86 when I was reading the national magazines is still there. It's still producing games, still producing cards. And then I'm still on board with there's something there that for the nostalgia, I don't know what it is, right? It's so satisfying to me to know that you guys are still in existence.
Oh, thank you, Dave. That's nice to hear. And I think that you and the people listening to this will be very pleased to know that not only is this game have historical significance for wrestling, the effort we put in to making the game card reflect the wrestlers and their abilities, the attention to details, amazing. The
Sure.
people that help write the game cards, they watch matches of the
Yeah.
people. They make sure that the finisher makes sense, that the setup moves are part of their move set, that SD Jones isn't going to go out and defeat Harley Race all the time. Now, that
Yeah.
doesn't mean that SD Jones might not get an upset victory,
Yeah.
but it's all, very meticulously thought out and planned out. Because when you have these matches across generations, that's always really interesting, Sure. How about Gorgeous George versus the Sandman,
Yeah.
or
Yeah.
something, those are dream matches that could have never really happened. And
Yeah.
now you can do them, you can do anything with this game. It's a real challenge to do that. It's really a lot of fun, but we put a lot of effort into it. And when I would talk to the wrestlers themselves, some of them I taught how to play the game. Some of them really wanted to learn, like Buff Bagwell was into it. And Sabu, I played with, unfortunately, I played with Sabu about a year before he passed away. But and he, you know, played it, and he wanted Randy Savage, you know, to play. And
yeah,
and it's tons of fun to play with the wrestlers themselves, because they get, you know how they are, they get animated, like, oh my god, what happened there?
Yeah,
I should have beat this guy. Oh my, you know, but they're just joking around, but they're having fun. Ox Baker was, and that's another one who passed away, but he was a blast that way too.
Yeah. Well, and we mentioned earlier, we talked about Gen Con. How much have you guys ventured out to conventions and such to expose, you know, to put out your product and your games out there?
I did it all the time in the zeros and the teens. You know, I mean, 2000 through about 2015, I was doing 3 or 4 conventions a year. Gen Con was a regular. That was awesome. And we loved visiting Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Origins in Columbus was another game one. Motor City Comic Con in Detroit. Pittsburgh Comic Con. Most of it was East Coast because I lived in Cleveland and New York at the time. And so New Jersey, we traveled all the time. And it was a good way to not only to promote the games, but to meet game fans in person. And that was special to me and still is. Like, we just had a Galacticon here in 2 locations last. It was the end of July. We had it in 2 locations. No, it was the end of June. Now I'm getting all mixed up. It was end of June. We had it in 2 locations in Pennsylvania and Burbank, California, which I went to because that's closer. And meeting the fans in person, there's nothing more enjoyable than that. It really is. Then you see their enthusiasm, you feel it, and, you know, like, wow, this game, you know, it's having an impact in people's lives when you see them in person.
Yeah, well, it definitely has. And 2026 is obviously kind of a monumental year for your company, because it is the 40-year anniversary of Champions of the Galaxy. Is there anything that you can divulge? Are there special plans to celebrate? Is there anything you can give listeners to, you know, how are you celebrating this 40-year anniversary?
Yeah, well, I don't miss anything, but we did a special game edition with Champions of the Galaxy earlier this year called Secret History 2. And we had a first Secret History set a couple years ago. But this one featured a new game edition, new artwork by our original artist, Chuck Carter. Mm-hmm. Well, that was very special for our 40th celebration, because I hadn't worked with Chuck on a game edition since like 1993 or something, you know? I mean, it's been a long time. So that was special. And we might have some more little surprises cooking this year. But that was, I'd say, one of our main ones.
Yeah, I know there's been a few announcements, some new talents with the Legends and stuff. I know some of your people, me personally, have helped make some contact with some former talents that I foresee seeing in the future, and I'm very excited to see that.
Oh, thank you. You helped, you know, you're part of our army
tries
to help get us signings.
Yeah, and of course, being a Midwest guy, right, I'm kind of key in on those guys. And there is a particular talent that I think we're going to see in a future future card for Legend of Wrestling to come, which I had a hand in setting up that connection. Very excited.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Of course. And
yeah, go on. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying that's personally exciting, because it's the guys I want to see in the game.
Well, that's why people do it. You know, it's good for everybody.
I remember when
Bruno Sammartino called me at a home, and, you know, every now and then those phone calls are not planned. Like, I gave my number to somebody to give to Bruno, and you don't know if it's going to happen, and then you forget about it. And then suddenly he's calling your house. And my young daughter answered, and she didn't know who he was. She was only like 10. And she gives me the phone and says, "Hey, Dad, it's some Italian guy." And I still didn't know what that meant. and I, you know, hello, this is Bruno Sammartino. And I'm like, oh my God, you kind of like to be prepared for that conversation.
Yeah.
So I said to him, well, Mr. Sam, because I had to pitch to him to do a game card, Mr. Sammartino. He says, no, no, no. He says, you call me Bruno. I call you Tom. You call me Bruno. I was like, okay. But anyway, we wound up getting Bruno in the game over time also. I've got a million wrestler stories. It's been an amazing journey.
Well, yeah, I mean, 40 years, it's got to be, there's got to be kind of this endless stream of mind-blowing stuff, right? Guys you didn't expect to talk to,
I'll tell you another one. On my telephone answering machine one day, I had a message, hey, Tom, this is Macho Man Randy Savage.
Da, da, wow. Da.
And it was so over the top that I thought it was a friend playing a joke on me.
Yeah.
I didn't think that he would really call and leave a message in character. And unfortunately, I didn't figure it out in time, because only a week or two later, he had his fatal heart attack.
Yeah.
I didn't talk to him directly. We got Randy Savage through his brother, Lanny.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, like I said, I thought, there's no way that's one of my friends calling and joking around.
Sure. Well, it's got to be just one story after another like that, right? For 40 years, as a wrestling fan, it's got to be this every, you know, so many guys that have contacted you or you contacted them or whatever it might be. There's this surreal feeling, right? Of,
yeah,
I cannot believe.
Finally, yeah. Well, you know, it's like a lot of things in life. The first times, like when I asked to speak to Vince McMahon, I was almost relieved he didn't come to the phone. I don't know if I could have talked. I was 24, 25. And, you know, I wasn't used to that kind of thing.
Sure.
But then with time, the more often you do it, you finally get to a point where these are just colleagues now. They are people, and you're comfortable talking to them because you've done it enough times.
Yeah. And going back to that love of comic books and that combination of wrestling and comic, I mean, you got to work with Stan Lee. I mean, we didn't venture into that because, you know, it's not really a wrestling thing, but how unbelievable is that?
Well, that was more unbelievable than anything else, because I was a big comic book fan and wrestling fan as a kid, but comic books, you know, had more of an imaginative component to them by, you know, by the way they are. And Stan Lee was my hero.
Right.
So no, I never envisioned a day where he would ask me, and this is, it's not just that we work together, it's that he asked me to work with him, not the other way around.
Sure.
And but luckily, I was old enough at that time where I was not overwhelmed by that. And we wound up forming a friendship, because in his generation and some of the older wrestlers too, they have a deep respect for college professors.
Yeah.
And so I taught him the psychology of creativity and healthy personality, because he soaked it all up. He wanted to learn about those things. And so our relationship was, it had a lot of give and take to it.
Yeah. Well, again, you continue to put out yearly updates. You're constantly releasing new talent cards for the Legends line. You've done this for 40 years. There's no, it's no semblance of slowing down. What does the future hold for Phil Senior Games?
Well, I want to continue to expand and create new. Well, first off, I want to put more time and effort into marketing the game to, look, you and I, Dave, you, I, and many people who play the game or are listening to this know that that it's an excellent wrestling game. I don't mean just saying that. I think it's proven itself.
Sure.
Now, we need to get it in front of wrestling fans who may not know about it, you know, because they haven't heard about a tabletop card game. You know, they're looking for apps and stuff like that.
Right.
And so that's why the conventions were always awesome, because if a person sits down at a convention table and plays a sample match, they inevitably would say, oh my God, I like this game. I'm going to purchase the intro, the starter set.
Yep.
Since I don't do conventions as much anymore, and as a company, we don't do a lot of them at all, we need to create those opportunities for younger wrestling fans to play the game. Then it sells itself.
Yeah.
So that improving our online game, you know, bringing in new features that might make it more compatible for an application and other ways. I want to do a game mat at some point. I think every good card game's got an official game mat.
Yeah.
You know, that's advertising. Sure. You know, if somebody's at Gen Con or Origins and they're playing Magic the Gathering, they're playing it on a Magic the Gathering play mat and people see that.
Yeah.
Well, same with this game. If there's a play mat that a person looks at and says, oh, what are you playing? Oh, look, that looks cool. So that's yet another area of growth I'm looking at.
Yeah, again, it's an ever evolving thing, right? I mean, any business in the modern sense is evolving, and we're in 1986. You had the magazines. It's a different world now, so you have to right. You got to kind of find your way in that.
We're good with social media, but you can't just rely on people to stumble onto you or just hearing about you.
Yeah.
You have to be more aggressive than that.
That's right. Yeah, you got to get in front of there's plenty of wrestling fans out there. You just got to find the way to get your product in front of them.
That's right. And not all of them like to play games, or they don't want to play a tabletop game. But some of them do. And we want to reach those people. And hopefully this podcast is one of those ways that helps. You know, that's, you know, just, there are many ways to do it. And we're working on that, even as we work so hard day in and day out just to meet our release schedules that we have for our regular games. And I have to keep writing. So I'm busy writing new game editions, game cards. So we're busy enough as is, but we try to make time for these growth aspects.
Sure. I would like to implore anybody who, even if you think gaming, tabletop gaming, whatever it might be, is not your thing, if you're a wrestling fan, give it a chance. It'll hook you. You'll like it because it hits all those key things, right? With being a wrestling fan, it satisfies that urge, especially if you have a nostalgic view of wrestling. There's a lot of
it.
Yeah, with the nostalgia.
If you ever had a dream of booking your own dream federation, here it is. And the game, as you know, plays fast in real time. So I do this all the time. If I schedule a card for Champions of the Galaxy or Legends of Wrestling or Indies, and it's like seven matches, I could be done with that in an hour. That's not long, you know? And now I'm scheduling the next card. And I've got feuds going, and I've got my contenders for the belts. You can do everything that happens on TV wrestling with this game.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. And if you try, I would dare say it's addictive, not in a negative sense, but you want to continue to play, continue to dive deeper. So that being said, we've talked all about the history and Champions of the Galaxy, Legends of Wrestling, all the licensed material. Where can listeners go to find out more about these games and to order some of those starter sets? Where's the site for them to hit?
Right. It would be Filsinger Games. And Filsinger is spelled with an F as in Frank. So it's F-I-L Singer, as in a singer.
There you go.
Filsinger Games. And it won't be hard to find because, you know, there's a lot about, you know, there's just tons of stuff about us on the internet and also YouTube. A lot of YouTube videos if people want to look and see what the fans themselves say and how they play. I was just interviewed for a podcast called Solo Promoter.
Mm-hmm.
All the people who play my games are called promoters. I don't call them game fans. I act like they are bookers, promoters, and so I always refer to them that way. But solo promoters got many podcasts playing the game and interviewing me and others about the games. So it shouldn't be too hard to find. Our website has starter sets available for champions, legends, and indies. And then you're hooked, we've got a zillion game editions to satisfy your interests.
That's right. And again, even if you're not a gamer per se, I'm telling you, these cards are collector's items because they have beautiful artwork on them for your favorite wrestlers or whatever. So go to the site. You can order sets. You can order individual cards. There's all kinds of stuff there. And again, just give it a try. You're going to be hooked, whether it be as a gamer or a collector or both. It's addictive. It hits all those cues as wrestling fans. And I think that's, again, Tom, because you're a wrestling fan, you know what to, you knew what to produce for us as fans. I've always, like I said, from day one, I remember I'm a longtime wrestling fan and remember your games all the way back from when the ads first started appearing. And I still love it. Again, I'm very hooked into the legends of wrestling and that stuff because that's what I like. But I implore people to go check it out. And also while you're out there, go look at your used bookstores online and whatnot. You can still find copies of The Dark Menace of the Universe, Tom's book from 2005. You can find used copies of that and go get one because it is a pretty fascinating look at a little deeper dive into the gaming and the development of the game. It is a remarkable world that a lot of us take for granted, right? We play the games, but we don't know the nuts and bolts behind it. And it is a passion for you guys, right? For us to play the games, it's a lot of work for you guys to keep that out there and relevant for us. And I appreciate that, Tom. I've been a longtime fan of your company, and I so appreciate you giving me the time and coming on and talking to me about your games.
Oh, it's been a great pleasure, Dave. I really appreciate your support, and I've enjoyed this conversation.
All right. Well, thank you, Tom. Again, go to look up Phil Singer Games. You can find them online. You can order all their starter sets, all the expansion cards, the expansion packs, or you can play the online simulation. There's so many options out there. Just go to the site, explore, dig a little deeper, take the plunge, order yourself a set. You will not regret it. They are, again, not only wonderful games, but they're wonderful collector's pieces, beautiful cards, for the collectors. I feel like all wrestling fans are collectors. And they're beautiful. They have wonderful artwork on them. So again, Tom, thank you for your time. And, congratulations on 40 years. That's unbelievable. And here's to many, many more years of legends of wrestling and champions of the galaxy.
If I have anything to do with it, it will be going on for a long time. We have our fall releases coming out in a month or two, a Cauliflower Alley Legends set, and then our huge Christmas releases. So here we are, folks.
There you go. So give them a follow. Check out their site. Follow them on social media. You want to see all the upcoming releases because it's constant. There's always something new developing with Phil Singer Games. And so you want to make sure you follow them to keep abreast of all these new developments. So once again, Tom, thank you for your time. And hopefully we can touch base and do this again in the future and give an update on the status of your games.
Yeah, it sounds like fun.
Available on all streaming platforms, it's professional wrestling's greatest, largest, privately owned wrestling library. All the classic hits, flips, slams, and pins of yesteryear are on one place. It's Ultimate Classic Wrestling. Check out the Nature Boy Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, Mr. USA Tony Atlas, Tito Santana, Rick Martel, a who's who of professional wrestling's greatest spotlight stars ever to grace the squared circle, all in one place. Grab the best seat in the house for memories and mayhem on Ultimate Classic Wrestling.
Hey guys, Ray Russell here. Lots of new stuff happening here at WrestleCopia. If you haven't checked out our website at WrestleCopia.com, it's a great way to keep up with the latest episodes of all of your favorite Copia programming, from the Wrestling Memory Grenade to Regional Wrestling with the Territory Talk, the Wrestling Stoop with the legendary Bob Roop, and of course, all of those programs also available at your favorite podcast streaming platforms. And if you want to stay up to date with everything going on in the Copia world, all the latest news, random thoughts, fun videos, pictures, and more, make sure to join the more than 33,000 followers over at facebook.com/wrestlinggrenade. Don't be left out. And last, but definitely not least, it's what keeps the entire machine going. I'm talking about patreon.com/WrestleCopia. We appreciate your support in helping us pay the bills to keep the WrestleCopia Podcast Network running and enabling us to continue to bring you all the quality programming that we offer.
Okay, and thank you to Tom for coming on and talking to me about Phil Singer Games and the big 40th anniversary this year. We will have Tom on again in the future to discuss the company more and other new products coming from Phil Singer Games. Of course, if you listen to the show every week, you know I have an ad. We have an ad for Phil Singer Games. We have partnered with them for a while. I love their games and what they do. So there will be more talks with Tom and more discussion on those games in the future. Guys, be sure to follow me on social media. I'm on pretty much any platform. Just look up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty and you will find me. Also, be sure to subscribe to me on YouTube for lots of classic wrestling content, plus all of my various podcasts. Also, go check out all the other WrestleCopia Network podcasts. There's lots of great shows, and you can find the individual podcasts on your favorite platforms, or you can visit WrestleCopia.com. Now, while you're out there and you're subscribing to me on social media, you're following WrestleCopia, you're checking out Phil Singer Games, also be sure to check out my friends at the Ultimate Classic Wrestling Library. Visit ClassicWrestling.net to sign up for your account and then download the app on all of your smart devices. All right, guys, thank you for listening. Thank you for joining. Be sure to subscribe to me. And if it's appropriate, on whatever platform, please rate and review. That gives me lots of help in the algorithms within these podcast platforms. But thank you, everybody, for all of your support. And until next episode, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always keep on growing.
Fans, we brought you All-Star Championship Wrestling. This is Sam Manager thanking you for being with us and saying until next time, so long, everyone.